hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line on WGNS. This morning, we're going to be focusing on the city of Murfreesboro, and we encourage you, if you have any questions or comments, easiest way is to text us at 615-893-1450. You can text us right now, 615-893-1450, or you can call us if you want to talk at that number. Our mayor, Shane McFarland, is our guest this morning. Shane, good morning to you. Good to have you with us on this nippy morning, but not as nippy as it was yesterday.
No doubt. Yesterday was cold.
We were up there at the Veterans Day tribute, and I thought I was going to freeze. I had a heavy coat on.
It was when I took Drew to school yesterday morning. I took a picture because I sent it to some friends. My thermometer showed 29 degrees, so it was cold.
It was cold. It was very cold.
So all those people out there, if you've not taken your hose bibs, pulled your hoses from your hose bibs, make sure and do that.
That's right, because they will mess up.
They'll freeze.
It's not quite that bad, right? It's 46 right now.
Yeah, it's going to be in the low 60s today, right?
Yeah.
You know, what is it, the older you get, you just really look at the weather?
I mean, I don't know.
I know, I was walking with, and that I look at the weather routinely. I was walking, Ashley and I walk quite a bit, and we were walking yesterday, and I was like, okay, it was in the morning, so it was cold, and I was like, all right, we're going to walk, but here's the deal. Neither one of us can fuss about the weather, you know, how cold it is.
But I think people do. You look at the weather, you make notes on the weather.
Yeah.
One of the big things.
I know everybody who's listening didn't want to hear us talk about the weather. But,
that's right. Well, and that brings along, we have a question that was texted in right before the broadcast. I might as well bring it in because it deals with the weather. It says, is Murfreesboro ready for a rough winter? And I think what they're asking is, are we ready to clean the roads and stuff?
Yeah, you know, we have got one of our best, all of our departments are really good. But Raymond Hillis, his team, they are always prepared. You know, there were a couple of years ago where we had so many, we were having an issue getting salt. And so they've switched to brine material. But our entire street department team, they are really good. So, yeah, we'll be ready.
And so no troubles.
No, well, I mean, you know, there's
slipping in the slide.
Mother Nature, the majority of time, is going to win. But I remember, I think it was last year or a couple of years ago, when I had a pretty significant weather event, and I had so many people that were, you know, messaging me or texting me that were like, hey, I don't know what y'all did in Murfreesboro, but keep up the good work, because we're driving in other areas that are nowhere near as good as Murfreesboro roads.
I tell you, we have been very fortunate. We have a great city department that takes care of
things. It's a good group. And Bart, that's one of the things you talk about. And I mean, it's like with any large organization, you've got opportunities that you can improve. But, you know, overall, we have got a really good group right now and a good team.
Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WGNS with our mayor. How are you?
Yeah, I was going to make the mayor aware there's people washing cars and trucks over here in the parking lots on Bradable Pike and Bradable Road and Middle Tennessee Boulevard on the weekend.
Okay.
I told Codes about it about 2 months ago, and they said they would handle it. You know, they're not paying no taxes. All that stuff is running in the ground over there.
So that's at Bradyville and Middle Tennessee?
Bradyville Pike, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, over where the Kroger used to be.
Okay, all right.
And I'm sure they're not paying no taxes to the city. They're taking money away from people that own real car washes. And like I said, I told the Codes people about 2 months ago about it, and they told me they was going to have somebody riding around on the weekend checking on it, but obviously that didn't happen.
All right. I'm making a note now. We had this discussion. Thanks for the caller calling. We had this discussion on food trucks. We had somebody come to our public comment session on Thursday at 5:30, and this individual, actually has a business in the Bradyville Pike area, and he was talking about food trucks that are setting up in parking lots across from his business. And that is we changed our food truck ordinance or created one 3 or 4 years ago to be able to move with the current times to allow food trucks. But one of the things that we were really worried about is exactly what this caller is talking about, where it's not really fair to a restaurant that has a brick and mortar that they're paying, property taxes, they're paying for upkeep, doing all these things, and then a mobile business to park literally right next to them. And so we're going to work on that. So that, thank you for letting us know that.
Thank you very much. Our phone number again, 615-893-1450. Here's a question. Person's wondering about the bus routes with the new terminal and everything. Will the bus routes be expanded?
So Bart, we've really done this over the last many years since our transit system came into place, that they really take those routes on a need basis, where they'll put a route in place, but then they'll monitor the ridership on that route. And then, if there's a demand for someone or a group that says, hey, we really would like to see this route extended, then they do that. So that absolutely, I would tell the person who's texted or emailed, email me smcfarland@murfreesboro.tn.gov. If there's some route suggestions, I'll make sure and get that to the appropriate people. And they look at all of those as routes, route demand comes up.
Very definitely. 615-618-1450. 615-893-1450. Text us right now, 615-893-1450. And we'll jump on your question as soon as it comes in. 615-893-1450. And more on that question about the winter weather. This person's talking about, they were talking, the forecast through the Farmer's Almanac and what have you is calling for a winter that's colder than usual and rougher than usual. And I thought, well, maybe not. But we already have I've seen some pictures, you've probably seen them too, of up in the Crossville area.
Yeah.
And Gatlinburg has a lot of snow up there.
Well, we'll be... our team will put in their initial salt order, their brine order. So, we will be ready. And that's one of the things, it's like insurance. You don't need it until you need it. And
right.
So, the city council has, I think, wisely invested in all of the equipment, additional equipment as requested that, we have, that 95% of the time it just sits there. Now we have a fleet services team that makes sure that they manage that equipment, make sure that it's ready to go when it needs to go. So, that's one of the things I think over the last many years, that you can look at our response, not only to emergency situations, but to where bad weather, and people laugh at us in the South that, we have our storm and they sort of shake their head that we shut everything down, but people have to get to work. And that's one of the things that, as a customer service side, that I think our entire city knows, that our goal is to be here to serve our resident. That's our number one customer, and we want to make sure that we provide those services. So, I would tell anyone who asks, we stay prepared, we stay ready. It's not just, Bart, it's not just snow event. We have storm events where trees get, trees are down right now. You'll notice our leaf collection group is moving along with the vacuum trucks, that they're vacuuming leaves up. So there are a lot of things that people just don't necessarily think about that the city does, that it's one of those things that if we weren't doing it, you would notice pretty quickly.
And that's one of those neat things about the city of Murfreesboro. These are not things that you've just started doing.
No.
I can remember back in the 60s, even, people were putting their leaves out on the streets and you were cleaning them up.
It's just gotten a lot bigger. We're up to over 60,000 trash cans that we pick up in, on a weekly basis. We do that in 4 days. So you're looking at 15,000 trash cans a day that are being picked up. So, I mean, there's just all of these services that we work on. And, you know, Bart, we're not trying to toot our own horn and beat our chest, but, you know, you think about this, and we've done that inside the city. We've had one tax increase in 2018 since I've been on city council. And so, but you go back and look before that, I think the number is there's been one tax increase in the last 31 years. And that's pretty phenomenal for a city to offer the services that we have, to look at the growth that we've had and to say that we've only, I mean, our tax rate this year, we're at 95 cents. When I first started on council, I think our tax rate was closer to $3. So, I mean, we've cut that by over 400% over the last many years. So, you never say never. I mean, as schools have to be built and other things have to be built, but we've been able to rely on sales tax, and our sales tax growth continues to go up. I tell our finance department, I don't think it's because we're necessarily seeing like all this influx of additional revenue. Although I think you look at, you know, Bucky's coming in, that's going to be a significant tax base. Costco, that's a huge number that's paid every year, but things just cost so much dang more than they did that sales tax revenue is higher because things cost more.
And with that Bucky's location, I know the city is really working now, and you can tell when they did the groundbreaking that you're working on ways to get traffic in and then out.
Yeah.
Because that has been a bottleneck in other cities.
I rode out there yesterday and just checked on everything. And what you're seeing, that whole interchange is being redone. And that's a state project. You're seeing Joby Jackson interchange is going to be lit. That's a state project. We are redoing the intersection where Butler Drive came in to Joby Jackson. We redid Butler Drive. That's where our new transfer station is going to go as well. So you're seeing all of these things happen in anticipation of that project opening in 2026.
Here's another question. Since you brought up the transfer station, this person's asking, why do we need two transfer stations, one for the city, one for the county?
Yeah, so strategically, you look, there's a transfer station on the north side of the county, you know, in that Walter Hill area. And then we're looking at putting a transfer station on the south side. And so there's a reason for that. Even if, and y'all know I'm adamantly opposed to an expansion at the landfill, but right now our trash trucks are spending, you know, on average an hour and a half just waiting in line at the landfill. And so what this is going to allow them to do is they're going to be able to, and so you think about that, that's an hour and a half, not counting what it takes them to drive there, that those trucks are not on the street doing what they're supposed to do, picking up trash. And so if they had a central location like the one that we're talking on the south side of town, then all of the trash from West Murfreesboro and South Murfreesboro could go to that transfer station. It would go into a negative pressured warehouse that you can't smell. Then that trash is loaded onto one truck that ends up going to the landfill as opposed to all of our trucks. And that, you know, on top of that, that landfill, the way it's managed, the last number I heard, you know, we're spending almost $10,000 a month in tires, in having to replace tires on our garbage trucks because they get flats going up that landfill. So there's a lot of benefit to be able to have that transfer station. And I would say this as well, there's a benefit to the county resident, because you think about all those people that live in the unincorporated area like Christiana, some of those areas, that now, you know, those trash trucks could come tip at the south transfer station and not have to drive another 30 minutes to the north. So I think it's efficiency for both the county and the city. And, you know, Mayor Carr, the county commission have been really good with wanting to partner together on those things. So I think it's something that benefits everyone.
So that's all coming together. And is there any way that since you have a transfer station and we'll be taking it over in one or two trucks, that the landfill could give you a special date or time to bring it over and you wouldn't have to be in line?
You know, I think that probably would be it, almost like a Disney fast pass. You know, you get a fast pass to go to Trash Mountain. That'd be like you got Space Mountain at Disney, so that's not a bad idea. But I think that probably would be tough. The face of that landfill and the road is so small that, you know, they would, I don't know that there would be a way that we could almost have like a leapfrog to be able to pass everybody.
It's because I've seen that trash mountain. Sometimes there's two lanes going up there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people don't realize how much traffic there is going up the landfill.
Correct. But I like that, though. It's a Disney Fast Pass, but not for Space Mountain, for Trash Mountain.
That's right.
That's a good idea, Bart.
Do you still get notice, since you are a pilot, do you still get words from other pilots, stay away from this because of all the birds?
Yeah, that was something, you know, Mayor Carr, myself, Darren Gore, Candida Lane spoke at the Tennessee Environment Council. They had it was at MTSU. It was a big group on Friday, and we were a panel and talk about Middle Point. And that's one of the things that, you know, I don't think anyone really thinks about, that that landfill is north of the airport. So when you're flying in south, your the approach, which is what you make an approach to land, it is directly over the landfill, and the amount of birds that are at that landfill now, comparatively in the past, it's significant. And so, you know, on an approach coming into an airport, one of the things that can be deadly, it's birds around the airport, because typically birds, they don't just try to fly away from you, they fly at you. And so it's something definitely to be cognizant about.
Are these good sized birds?
Yeah, they're big birds. Yeah, they're large.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not talking like doves or anything flying around there. I mean, they're, you know, buzzards and things like that.
So these are large birds that could significantly damage the airplanes.
Well, it can. I mean,
could make you crash.
Well, you think about this. I mean, think about what happened with I think it was. You know, Captain Sullenberger, remember the Hudson River. I can't remember what airline that was. I think it may have been American. I can't remember. But, you know, that was he lost both jet engines because of bird strike. So, I mean, birds are no good for an airplane.
So be aware of that. And that's another concern.
Yeah, I mean, typically, you know, when you come in, there's a lot of airports, you know, specifically, I tell you one, Panama City, that you fly into, and there will be a what's called a NOTAM, notice to airmen, that will, when you listen to it as you come in, it will tell you, you know, birds observed on, you know, this portion of the runway, you know, be aware. So it's just something as a pilot you try to be aware of.
Let's talk a little about the daylighting of Town Creek. Everybody's excited about that. In fact, we've gotten some text about that this morning. People are watching it and they're amazed at how big it is.
Yeah.
Is it as big as it looks like it's going
to
be?
Yeah, they've got a lot of it sort of dammed up right now to be able to, you can start to see the shape of where the creek is going to be, and you can start really starting to visualize the walking pass, and they're working on Front Street, working on tying that back over into the Cannonsburg Creek. So, I mean, it's moving along quickly, and the completion date has to be before October of 2026 because of the federal funding that is in that. So it's moving along, and, you know, we're routinely getting updates to keep us sort of abreast of what's happening. But I think it, you know, it's one of those projects, Bart. I think you're going to see it revitalize Cannonsburg, and I think it's going to revitalize this Broad Street area, including helping traffic on Broad Street.
Well, that's exciting to see. And when that happens, I know there had been conversations about walkways suitable for families, music venues, even maybe some places to grab some food.
Yeah, the pedestrian bridge on the corner of Church Street and Broad Street is in engineering. That'll start moving into construction. We did we're putting an elevator in that bridge to be able to accommodate ADA access. So that's something that's going to be very helpful. So yeah, it's all starting to come together. You know that the Broad Street project where we're sitting right now, that was approved at City Council. That's moving forward. A significant piece in that is the new WGNS building being built. That's sort of the cog to get everything started, you know, in that area. So I know that's something that everyone's working on. So it's something that I think is going to benefit not only the Good Neighbor Network, it's going to be something that's going to benefit the entire area here, that you're going to start seeing, you know, economic development with offices and you know, and I do have some breaking news, Bart. We
should I play a bulletin sound?
I know. I wish we had one. you know, so as we worked on the downtown, this downtown project, you know, we always would look, and you always asked me about One East College, and we had a really good, productive meeting with the One East College developers week before last. Our city attorney, myself, and then their development team and their attorney, and I think that we have figured out a way that they're going to move forward.
They're going to move forward?
Yeah, I believe. I mean, the city council still have to approve it, but I think the project, we found a way that they're going to move the project forward, immediately, starting with the renovation or remodeling of the church. That's something that they're working on. So I don't have details to share yet. I don't want to get, you know, the cart ahead of the horse, but it was very promising, the meeting that we had, that, you know, we came up with, here are the things that we're very concerned about, here are the things that we want to see happen, and they agreed, hey, we may have not put our best foot forward on this, but we want to. And so I think that the developers all have said, okay, we're going to get this done.
So are they looking, what are they looking at? Are they looking at doing what they had originally talked about, so the multi-level and then residential?
The multi-level, you'd have the office space, you would have the retail space, you would have, I think the church is about 5,500 square feet that they're talking about renovating and white boxing the church to, you know, look at whether that would be a possible restaurant that would go in there, or lots of different things, you know, a performing arts center. There are a lot of things, but then there's some other office space that is on it's across from, you know, Milano's, a portion of it that's there. And, you know, I do think the city, our space needs study that we've done over the last two or three years is substantial on the space that, I mean, we've not expanded really city offerings since the 80s, 90s, when, I mean, we've actually sort of probably taken away some. You know, we moved the water and sewer department out to Robert Rose, the fire and police are out on Thompson Lane, but, you know, our city court, our city services, there's some pretty significant growth needs that we have. And we got an estimate back on creating 8 new offices in City Hall is going to be about over $1 million to do that. So I think that there's an opportunity that we can look, that the city needs some office space as well downtown. And, you know, getting our I've been consistent in saying this, I think government services can be a detriment to being on the square proper, you know, because small businesses are there, parking's an issue, all of those things. And for example, when you've got the probation services office that's on the square right now, I believe that's what it is. I mean, there are times you just can't get around the square. You can't find a parking spot. And so there are, with this project, you've got, I think it was roughly 400 structured parking spaces, and there's a significant need downtown. So breaking news, I think you're gonna see some really productive things coming out here in the next months.
So this is this is One East College, the one over where the Methodist Church used to be. We're moving forward on that again.
Well, that's what it looks like.
It's not signed.
No, there's not anything signed yet. But I will tell you, I think I saw the developer Monday night. There was an event I went to, and the developer was there, and I reiterated how good that meeting went. And so I think everyone is in a place to where they talked about their financing, that the financing is close to in place. So I think there's some pretty significant things that have happened over the last several months that hopefully leads to a positive outcome.
Now, have you been in the Methodist Church sanctuary?
No, I haven't, but it was really, that was one of my first questions. And so the developer was telling us that they have to inspect that monthly, and they have to provide an engineer's report yearly for their insurance company. and they assured that the church is in good shape. So
good. That concerns me.
That concerned all of us, you know. So that was something that you know, insurance companies are not going to insure something that's about to fall down. And so that made us all feel much better when they said, no, we inspect that on a monthly basis. We've done repairs in there on an ongoing basis, and we have to provide an engineer's report or a report on a yearly basis to our insurance company, and we've been doing all of that.
Now, you indicated that the city is looking for some additional office space. Are you saying that if they build this, you might be interested
possibly
using some?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, Bart, we've got, I think it's important for us. The model of city services has changed over the last, 50 years. And you think about where city services, are right now, and sometimes it's really tough to get to those services. And sometimes it's really tough, we've moved to an online model to where there's a lot of times you don't have to come in to City Hall. But we still have all of these departments information technology. You've got the city court system that you still have to. And so I think there's a way to relook at how we save taxpayer dollars and provide a better service. And so far, that's really been a focus with the city council that, we've tried to save money on facilities and structures and find ways to make it to where it makes it easier for our resident. We did that this year, Bart, for those city residents that don't know. We extended our tax payment this year to the end of February, so it matches when taxes are due with the county.
Mm-hmm.
We were always to December 31st, but there's a lot of people that still want to walk in. They want to hand that check over to the teller. But we've got it now where a lot of those things, you don't have to come in, you just pay it online.
Now, let's look back in history. When did this group, the Patel Group, I believe it was, from Detroit, when did they purchase the property?
So we purchased that property in 16. It was
the city.
It may have been 17 that we went through and purchased that. Then we went through a two-and-a-half-year RFP, so request for proposal process. So I'm going to round up and guess and say that it was sometime around 2019 that they purchased that property, so about 6 years ago. And then, we went through a recession. We went through...
that was right about the time of COVID.
Yeah, right? Then COVID hit. And so there's, if you look at it, there's been a lot of development inside the city, but you've not seen a lot of mixed use in that. The downtown mixed use is unproven. I'm very bullish that I think it will be successful, but I think we have to, it's one of those partnerships, and I think, could there be things that could have been done a lot better? I would say yes, but we are where we are right now, and I'm hoping that this is a good move forward.
I guess what I'm looking at is, so the parking that was at the city parking lot there on the property,
correct,
was closed around 2019.
That sounds right, yes.
So we've had 6 years without parking there, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, parking. Well, and there was not that many spots on that corner. I think there was only 40 spots, 40 or 50 spots. But that's 40 or 50 spots that we don't have right now.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think, yes. But then you had the bank that had parking on their part as well. So yeah, I mean
we've lost a lot of parking.
Yeah, this could be significant for the downtown community and being able to get that structured parking that could be used.
Will that be the first thing that they offer? Will they focus first on the parking?
I think the way the property looks to be designed, that it really is one of those projects. It's not like Broad Street. It's not like the Broad Street project where it will be phased in. This will be one that will have to go, the parking garage is in the center of the project. So it's really one of those things that you'll have to do it sort of all at once.
And will they have, are they still talking about a hotel?
No, the hotel got removed probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, I knew they were downsizing it, but so it's totally out.
Yeah, it's been out. And I, you know, that is the other part that we've learned through the parking of the hotel on the Broad Street project. So phase three on the Broad Street project has that, that hotel. I think it's 200 beds, but there's a significant parking need that has to go with that hotel. And so what they were running into is that the hotel parking was eating up all the parking that could be used for the public parking. And so I think that also makes a little more sense with that hotel being almost a little, not too far from where we're sitting right now, that the traffic access is much better than it is bringing all that traffic into the downtown area.
Now, will this facility that's being rebirthed again, will it have apartments and residences?
I think there's condos. I think there's a portion that, you know, would be in the multifamily side, but the project itself would not change from what has already been approved and was approved, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Everybody was so excited about the bell tower. Will that remain a park?
Yeah, I think the church, that all stays.
All righty.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm my fingers are crossed and everything else that you would be. What's that saying? It's like, I'm not superstitious, but maybe I'm a little stitious. And so, I mean, maybe there's things that we'll see.
So there you heard it. Some exciting news. Looks like the downtown project where the old Methodist Church may have new life.
Let's hope so.
We'll continue the conversation. Our mayor, Shane McFarland's with us this morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them. MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. The salmon is my favorite, and then we have a variation that's on a regular menu for the salmon imperial that has some Alfredo, some crab, some shrimp on it. But the salmon is fresh, and we cut it fresh. But all of our fish, you can either get blackened, or you can get it with our regular seasoned salt. And either way you do it, it's just out of this world. And I'm not a fish person, but I will eat it at Demas's all the time. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least match their prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
Holden Hardware has been serving the hardware needs of this community since 1948. This is Raleigh Holden, Jr. I want to thank our many customers who have helped to keep us in business all these years. I also want to invite those who may be new to this community or have not been in the store lately to visit us. Come experience a unique hardware buying atmosphere with wood floors, old furniture and fixtures, along with a helpful and knowledgeable sales staff. Holden Hardware on the west side of the public square since 1948.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 36. Thursday, sunshine, high of 65. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 46.
Good morning. Still some volume trying to get down Vietnam Vets westbound right now. Pretty much on schedule as that traffic comes out of Hendersonville. That part is Sumter County. It's slow at times. Certain sections of 65 through Millersville coming southbound around Bethel Road. It's loading up with more volume over here on 65 north at 840 trying to get up through Spring Hill. Hey, when you need dependable towing for your car or a big old truck, call STR Towing and Recovery. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Bringing humor, insight, and a voice of reason. Hey, it's Rick. Join me for the Rick Burgess Show on WGNS, weekdays 11 till 2.
Welcome back. We are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro this morning. Our mayor, Shane McFarland, is with us. And we have just a few minutes left, so we want to be sure and cover all of the things. Got some big news there with the church project. The old Methodist church project looks like it's being reborn. Much, much more pleasant approach to it than condemning it and taking it over. I mean, that was...
I agree.
But we're going to get something out of it.
We hope so.
So that's exciting. And it looks like you say the project here, the Keystone Project, that's moving forward?
Yes, the council voted a couple of weeks ago. We broke that up into three phases, which, you know, helps with the overall process. But, yeah, they gave us the timeline. And so, you know, Bart, I know familiar with that one just because of what y'all
are doing. Because we're sitting here and got to be at a different location.
Yeah, so I think that's moving along.
So at what time do you think you and I will be doing our show from a different location?
I think the date on that was end of 2026, early 2027 is what the timeline was. Because, you know, what they're going to do is across the street from here, they're building y'all's building sort of freestanding, and then they're going to build around that building. And then when you're relocated, then that really starts the whole process of...
Right, because you can't take down the stuff around us.
Until
we're sitting here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So
you don't want to, what is this police department, 5 stories tall?
Oh gosh, and it's all concrete. So I mean, that's
and you don't want that coming down on top of us sitting here doing a happy show.
I agree. I don't want that.
That's going to be a parking lot, is it, or has that changed?
No, that is. Actually, I think that I'd have to look at the plan, but I think that's the entrance to where the parking garage is going to be. Yeah.
Things change a little bit. Once in a while.
I mean, I think it's going to be a exciting project that will transform. You know, you think about it right now, and I know people talk about downtown living and some of those things, but you know, you have to have a vibrant and growing downtown to make sure that the rest of your city keeps up with it. And you know, right now we just don't have people living in this downtown area, and I think that helps our small businesses. It helps with activity on making sure that we keep crime down low downtown. I mean, all those things that you see that, I mean, and Bart, I look at this, Chattanooga, in my opinion, Chattanooga and Knoxville, their downtown areas would be a great model. People will talk about Nashville. Like, I have no desire for Murfreesboro to be like downtown Nashville at all. But, you know, we went to Clarksville the other night. In Clarksville, they're downtown, just the small businesses and the restaurants and some of the things that we have, but we could always, you know, provide a better base for our small businesses. So I think it can be a benefit.
Now, as far as the studies of downtown go, you were doing a group looking around at the second floors of different stores. How did that turn out?
Yeah, so we just had a downtown meeting with the downtown business owners to sort of explain some of the things that we've been working on. One with our police host team to talk about, you know, what we're doing on policing downtown. We talked about the investment that the city's looking at. Like, the downtown second story businesses really can't develop because there's not fire protection. And so we looked at what it's going to cost for a main line for the city to run to be able to provide sprinkler protection for all of those businesses. We're going through a whole downtown study where we looked at Oxford, Mississippi, and some more progressive downtown areas where they're looking at things like centralized trash collection. We announced the other day that we want to do a pilot program in downtown Murfreesboro for recycling. So we're seeing how many people would be willing to sign up for a recycling program downtown. Because, you know, downtown we have rear load trash trucks. That's one of the only areas where we utilize those. And so it seems that it would
make... What is a rear load trash truck?
A rear loading trash truck is where you've got, you know, the trash collectors hanging on the back of the, you know, the old school hanging on the back of the truck, yeah, riding that. So, you know, now all of our trash trucks are automated side loaders, and they have the grapple arms that grab the trash, container and dump it. And so downtown, we can't do that because we don't have the room. I mean, those trucks are so big, you couldn't maneuver them downtown. So we still have rear loading trucks. And so that would make sense for a recycling program to work. We just got to figure out if we've got enough people who'd be willing to pay for it and, you know, willing to do it. I mean, Ashley's business downtown, they recycle a ton of cardboard, and they pay a pretty hefty price for that on a monthly basis, and it only comes once or twice a month. And so what we're looking at is, you know, would enough people be interested in doing a weekly recycling service?
So with this trash truck that is rear loading and a person manually puts the trash in, would it have several different bins inside the truck to locate the different types?
So what we talked about, and a portion of it would be single stream recycling, but part of that, what we talked about, we'd have to buy a new recycling truck to be able to handle that. You know, we're looking at it. We think that recycling rate, if we were to get 150 people to sign up, it's about $70 a month is what the pro forma showed, $75 a month. So, you know, for every person we get above that, that number starts going down. And so I think that's something we wanted to see, that it's not a huge investment. The city could look and see if this is something that is a sustainable thing for our entire community.
Now, is that something that all businesses would have enough recyclable items to put into that?
Yeah, I mean, think about this. I mean, think about the restaurants and think about the...
Well, I can see restaurants they use a lot of material.
A lot of material, yeah. So, I think there's a...
But I can't see an office doing that much.
So you wouldn't think, like, for example, Ashley's business. I mean, they get shipments on a daily basis that are all cardboard. And so, you know, there are, I think, businesses that you wouldn't think about. Like, you know, think about the DA's office, about how much cardboard and paper, and the county government offices that we go through. So, I mean, I think we're going to see. I mean, we may not have enough interest for people to be able to do it, but you don't know until you try. And I think it's something that the council said, yeah, let's see if this will work or not.
And we have to do this really everywhere, not just downtown.
Yeah, at some point. I mean, recycling, you know, we've made it through the entire show without talking about the landfill, and, you know, recycling is going to be a huge...
It has to be.
Yeah, Donna Barrett, you know, it's advertising on y'all station. I mean, it's a big issue.
Well, for some reason, the Southeast is the only area that hasn't jumped into it.
Tennessee's 48th out of 50 states in recycling. Now, I have an opinion.
And I think the whole Southeast is that
Well, point. Yeah, but I have an opinion on that. I mean, I think the solid waste lobby is so, I mean, you look at what the neat recent announcement, I think Republic has 11 lobbyists now at the Capitol. And so I think there's almost just as much as some of us are working to say, hey, we need to find more sustainable solutions. You got another group over here that says, no, we landfillings, that's the cheapest and best thing to do. So, you know, it's almost like once you... I hate to use this analogy, but a drug addict, once you get hooked, it's so hard to get off of it. And so I think what we're trying to say is, like, we're getting off of it. There's a better way to do it. But you've got this group over here that's saying, no, this is the best thing. So we're going to work through it. I think we're being diplomatic and diligent about doing it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I say this, transparency is the key. And we're being very transparent with our resident on here's what it's going to cost, here's where we are on things. And, you know, Bart, you know, the city's still going through our deal, but, you know, one of the representatives last week, a couple weeks ago, they were made a comment that, you know, our standard at our landfills, you don't smell the landfill 20 steps off of the surface of the landfill. And I'm like, I accept. We agree. So
there you have it. Shane, thank you for joining us.
All right, man. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Hey, next month it's going to be Christmas. We'll be ready for
all right.
Big Christmas season.
Absolutely. Going to be a big one.
One thing, Bart, you saw who the grand chair or the grand marshal of the Christmas parade is going to be? Bill Allen.
He is a good one.
He is a great one.
I tell you, I'm so happy that he's going to be there.
Thanks, Bart.
Stay with us. Much more to come.